Hey, come on in, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. We're here with the LeGrand School District Turning Point Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Smith. I'm here with Scott Carpenter, our assistant superintendent.
Hey.
Good morning, Scott. How are
you? Good morning.
We are here bright and early for the first time. We'll see if we got any frogs in our throat or how we're doing this morning. We're also joined by Coach Dalton Sheets here. How you doing, Dalton?
I'm fantastic. Good morning.
Morning, morning. Good deal. Well, as always, we're here. We're talking about education, the various parts of it. Today, focusing a little bit on coaching and teaching, kind of in that combination and all that entails. We got a lot of coaches in the district that put in a lot of time outside the classroom. It's almost like a second, third, fourth, fifth job in some cases.
It's amazing. Dalton, just out of curiosity, how many coaching jobs are you currently involved in?
So three. Yeah, I'm coaching pretty much all year.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, as a former coach myself, the time that goes into that is, peanuts on the hour pay wise. But the connection with kids is one of a kind for sure.
I think for our community, coaching is rewarded as a stipend. So there's an agreed upon amount in what's called the CBA or the collective bargaining agreement. And so a head coach might make $6,000, you know, somewhere in that realm for all the time they put in. And that includes, you know, if they decide to have an early morning weightlifting, if they decide to have, you know, practices or team meals or all those things, all the time and energy connected to, really, it's from the district perspective, it's a stipend. And then there's this huge expectation. And Dalton, I'm excited to hear for your lived experience in that expectation and what that feels like.
But. Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll dive into it today. Just wanted to let Coach Sheets here give us a little bit of his background, his path, kind of how he got to where he's at, what he's currently doing. And yeah, Dalton, so I mean, you got a lot of irons in the fire. Tell us what you're doing right now.
Lots of irons. Yeah. I would say my path to education is unique. I think probably everybody's is a little bit, but I remember back in middle school, we did like job forecasting and I was pretty good at math. And so engineers made a lot of money and I was like, all right, I'm going to be an engineer. And I got to high school and I took pre-calculus and I was like, yeah, no, I'm going to find a different job. I didn't enjoy this and I don't want to take another math class. So, and I refused for a couple years of college, but kind of during that time, we, you know, being an athlete myself and involved with varsity athletics, we were encouraged to go spend time with some of the youth and do some coaching and officiating and some of those things. And so I would umpire 20 games a year when I was in high school and that kind of a thing. So that was kind of my early influence into, I guess, being a mentor or being a coach-like figure to some of the youth sports. I was like, well, you know, I think I could get into education and teaching might be a good connected path with that. And my best teachers or the ones I guess were the most influential going through high school were my history teachers. And so that was going to be my thing. I was going to be a high school history teacher and then hopefully be able to coach in some capacity or be involved with coaching. And it was the peak of the recession. And so as I was going through college, there was all kinds of cuts and education world especially. And so the outlook of a history teacher getting a job where they wanted a job was pretty bleak.
Yeah,
but
that's rough.
But the need for a male elementary teacher was like skyrocketing through the roof. I was like playing my odds a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, I coach the youth and I think that would be a fun path too. So that's kind of what steered me, I guess, into education and through education and ended me in elementary. It'd be worth saying too, as I went through my education program, I actually was a custodian for the school district. That was kind of my job while I was going through college. And so this school right here, actually Willow, was my 3-hour a day job as I was going through college. And then like a substitute paraprofessional. And so I would try and clear up either my morning schedule or my afternoon schedule. So I'd go do a half a day as a para and then go to class and then come clean in the evening. So worked out pretty well. I actually worked enough hours. I got a couple extra years of PERS credit, which, you know.
There you go. There you go.
May or may not pay off someday.
So you could probably say you've done just about everything, right? I mean, custodial, para, teacher, coach, all that stuff.
Except administration or
kitchen.
Kitchen or secretary. That's about it. Although I do make some mean pancakes once in a while.
Yeah, I have participated in that pancake making, and they are pretty good.
There you go.
Good deal. Well, that's awesome. And I mean, great start, great motivation to get in there working with youth, the kind of people that education need. And so once you got in, you got in that elementary classroom, and then you were able to get into a variety of different classrooms. Talk to us a little bit about the coaching front. What was your kind of path once you got into coaching? Like, how did that start for you?
Yeah. So I guess, it started, so I'm a Mac High, proud of Mac High alum grad.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. I still love my Mac High peeps, but LeGrand's home now.
Yeah.
But right out of high school at 18 years old, I was the vice president of our little league in Milton Freewater, just cause like I had a really strong, want to volunteer, and there was not a lot of people that shared kind of that same thing. So, that kind of started, and through that, then it was like, well, now it's wrestling season and I wrestled, so I guess I'm going to coach wrestling. And kind of through that, I built some relationships, with people from LeGrand. Shane Frederick actually is the guy that, was kind of my first go-to connection in LeGrand. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll just say I completed my first year of college. My second year of college, I got about 3 credits of weightlifting done, and that was about all that I was making progress on because I was coaching and working a full-time job and doing all these things. And so I'm like, I got to get out of town or I'm never going to get this thing done. So I knew I was going to LeGrand, and I was like, hey, I'd like to stay involved with coaching. And he's like, oh, well, I coach Little League and wrestling and all this stuff. So switch some contact information. Anyway, so fast forward a little bit, got back to over here. And during that time, I was a custodian. It was like, all right, well, now I'm going to help coach travel football team, fifth grade travel football team. And now I'm doing that club. And so that's kind of how I got started in LeGrand, was through Shane.
A desire to be involved.
Yeah.
Right. That's awesome.
Middle school wrestling, that was my first in the school district involvement. With district athletics, and yesterday was our first day of our season. And so this is, I think, year 13 is what I was thinking back, that I've done this now with the middle school wrestlers. And, Susie Mays was my first principal, my first job in second grade. And she was really gracious enough to as soon as kids were gone for the day and I didn't have meetings or anything, let me take off and go over to the middle school and start coaching. So, that was kind of my start early
That's awesome.
With my first teaching job and how good, I got going here.
Good deal. Well, was there ever a moment where you just realized I'm meant to do this? This is what I want to do. I'm meant to be here.
Yeah, I don't know I can't say what the exact moment was, but I think just all of those experiences together, you start getting in a groove and you feel like, I think I'm pretty okay at this. See the kids get better in each sport throughout the season. And the, what you spoke to earlier a little bit, the relationships and these long-term, kids that are 23, 24, 25 years old now that were some of the first ones that I coached, and they come back to town and we go, link up and meet up and have breakfast or whatever it is and catch up on the things that they got going in their lives. And, just seeing them be successful people, and you like to think at least a part of that's attributed to some of the work ethic and the skills and the things that they developed in athletics.
Yeah, it most definitely is. Is for sure. Good deal. Was there ever a moment where you were like, man, I don't know, this is pretty tough, hard moment? I mean, obviously it's full of hard moments along the way, but.
Every day?
It's hard.
It's such a ebbs and flows, and the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, and. I would say being a head coach for the first time with football, that there's a lot of things that go on, and your eyes, are a little bit open to holy cow, this thing, you're never really off, there's emails, there's fundraising, there's, XYZ. And then you're worrying about a JV program that's going to feed into your varsity program at some point. So you want your coaches to be great and get them everything that they need. And while also, you got to focus on what you got going on and developing the varsity kids. And, I think those are some of the daily struggles. I guess there's a lot of those are the behind the scenes things that not everybody sees.
Yeah. And I would echo that. Sorry to cut you off there, Scott, but like there's very few folks I think that really truly understand kind of that head coach seat of a program, especially in a small town. People take a lot of pride in it, whether it be football, baseball, wrestling, basketball, soccer, I mean, cross countries, tracks. Like you can top to bottom, regardless of what sport you're in, and the head that head coaching role is never off. There's always something. There's always a coach to train up. There's always an athlete to help out. There's always a parent that's upset. There's always like some sort of issue to deal with, and you're expected to have that athlete ready and perform and have them in class and motivate them to perform well in, you know, on their grades and like help them turn into a great human. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's an absolutely necessary part of like everything we do in society, I think, but it is extremely diverse and complicated. And there's very few folks that show up on Friday night and sit in the stands and get mad and go like, and think they know what it takes. And it's, there's very few folks that understand that, but.
You had been coaching Dalton for a long time and jumping into the varsity head coach sort of world. I sit second to George as superintendent to our district. I think I know a little bit about what he does, but certainly if I ever was a superintendent, there would be things that would shock or surprise me. Sure. There's things that he handles every day that I'm just not aware of. What were some of the, one of the things that like was most surprising to you in that transition to be the lead coach, the head coach?
Well, I would say the first thing that stood out to me was like the media and the, you know, the newspaper writers, like all those people wanting to contact you and like, what's the outlook of the season, you know? And I was like, I honestly don't know. Like we got, you know, it was a transition time. Like we were younger and we're still younger, but we're, you know, year three, we're really excited moving into next year. But everybody seems to care about football a lot and, has a lot of opinions on football. And so, but ironically, like I'll have an assistant job open for 6 months that nobody applies for or things like that too. Yeah. So, just getting, and I'm excited now. We've got a young staff, but we got a bunch of guys that are, really good with kids, care about the kids, want to be there. And so we're all growing together, I guess is what I would say as we're going through this thing.
But talk about that dynamic a little bit. And maybe Brett, you too, as a coach, I coached for a season and got, you know, asked to do something else at the end. So I'm not going to even claim to be a coach. But that idea of, and we talk about it in meetings all the time about kid-centered, this is for kids, win or lose or whatever. And as long as kids are having a great experience, that's what we want. That's the that's the core of why sports exist. On the flip side, there's this expectation that we have winning seasons and that we're competitive or championships or all those types of things and the buzz around that. Like, what is the, like, how do you maintain that focus on this is really meant for that? Like, there's, I'm sure a kid or two on the football team, maybe more, where this is their lifeline and them feeling good and playing, even if they're not maybe the best player or whatever, is essential to them being connected and having a great experience. Or there's the win-loss record. Like, talk about that I'll just say that tension.
Yeah. And I would say it's not different from your classroom either. Like you're going to get this wide spectrum of experiences and abilities and deficiencies and strengths. And it's the same with your athletes too. The thing I always have to go back and focus on is it's a process. Just like every year, you know, whether it's teaching fifth grade or sixth grade or whatever it is, they're coming in as the previous grade. So if it's sixth grade, they're very much fifth graders at the start of this year. Yeah. And your goal is you want them to be sixth graders by the end of the year with sixth grade skills and all those things. And so really just focusing, knowing your core values and the work ethic and the character traits and all those things, if you continue to preach them being good people and the process of working hard through practice every day, your win-loss record maybe isn't always going to be what you hope it to be, but when you do the right things, you tend to win more has been my experience so far. Mm-hmm. And when you get kids bought into that, you know, just being all in and working hard and being great teammates and doing a good job in school and being good sons or daughters, whatever it might be, like all those things have an impact to the overall performance of the season. And so I'd say, you know, our first year when I was head football coach, we were, I think we had a 2-win season. And this last year we had a 5-win season, and I'm really looking forward to next year.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a bunch of juniors and seniors with a bunch of experience every year.
Yep.
You know, ideally you get 10 to 15 seniors every year that have already got a year or two of varsity experience. And we will have that next year now.
Yeah.
And so it's just a process, and it can be frustrating, and you have to just remind yourself, like, you can only go step at a time, step at a time. You're not going to just take a big leap.
What I love about our district, and you reflect this as well, but is that to a person, I have always felt in every meeting, we are about the kids.
Yeah.
And their experience, their opportunities are the premium, and the win-loss record is secondary, third sort of even consideration.
Yeah.
And that's really been just great.
And that's really it. Like Dalton said, it's about, you know, you build strong relationships, have good values within your organization and your team, right? And you build on those things, and you build that work ethic, that habit, how we practice, how we do things. And that, like, discipline is something that is difficult to teach outside of a sports or a classroom or something that kid's invested in. And that's what translates to a lot of success in life. And so, you know, that win-loss record, you know, everybody will look at it, yada, yada. But the real work is done in that process. And did that kid get better, you know, over the course of that season, over the course of that training, over the course of, you know, their life? And that's really the measuring stick. And like Dalton said, that, you know, the wins will come, you know, if you build it on the right foundation and the right principles, you know, headed forward. So,
and I'll just say on the flip side, like, I've had games too, like, that we didn't behave or respond the way that I was very thrilled with.
Yeah.
And they maybe didn't get the most positive reflection from me after the game.
Right.
Even though we won, because, you know, but there's times that we lose. It's like, man, but they never quit. That, you know, they did things the right way. They were good with officials. They were good sports, good teammates, all those things. And so, and maybe that it's the one kid that maybe didn't pass, you know, all but two classes the previous term, and they passed every class. Like, that's a win that people don't see. It doesn't show up on the win-loss record.
Yeah.
And so that's, I guess that's what, you know, preaching the values and sticking to that and just knowing who we are and what we want to be about. And I agree with Scott that I think we have a lot of people in this district that really do care about our kids and want them to be successful from day one in kindergarten all the way through throwing the hat up at graduation. So.
Yeah. And I know, and then we can move on here, but I know that there are kids here in LeGrand and everywhere that really rely on programs, you know, whatever they are, to really keep them engaged in school, right? And have a community and have a social circle that's positive, that's uplifting, and that's going to give them, you know, the structure they need to go and be successful. And it's really cool to see those in action here in LeGrand.
I think it's worthy at this point just to honor, recognize, and maybe a shout out to the Booster Club.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And if you don't know, if LeGrand Booster Club is news to you as a listener to our podcast, they have for years fundraised and made sure that students who have a financial need or not an opportunity to participate club sports activities, that they remove those barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And they have paid fees for years and years and years to make sure that students who really need the help can be able to participate. And so we have great community that, like, shows where their heart is in terms of values, of kids just having opportunities to be part of the good things that happen when you're part of a team and when you're competing, and those lessons learned. So we appreciate the Tiger Booster Club and everything they do to help us be a great program for all kids.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would just mention too that many of those members, their kids are long gone graduated and they're still involved and they're still, you know, taking a secretary role or treasurer role or whatever it is and still involved. And I think, you know, the pride in our community and programs is really exemplified in our Booster Club. They're awesome.
Yeah, good deal. Well, was there ever a moment that you were just like on Everest? You're like on the peak, man. You're like, man, this is what I've worked for.
Well, I would just say the first one for me was we won the middle school state championship. And so, like, that first 5 years, like I was really like, man, all in, and we got to be competitive. And, you know, it started, I think we had maybe 13 kids my first year, and it's like next year we had 20, and the next year we had 30, and, you know, it continues to grow. And still I like to, you know, I push for our numbers to be there. But we had a group that I had been involved with, you know, starting with as the fourth graders in our club program, Matt Club. And they were working through, and I think it was their seventh grade year. Anyway, it was just, it was one of those unique classes where there's a bunch of kids, a bunch of really involved parents, supportive. And it turns out they're also very athletic too, on top of it, but worked hard and were good people, you know, just all the stuff, did all the stuff the right way. But at the middle school level for wrestling, there's no classifications. It's all 1A through 6A. And everybody. So everybody's together. And so if you're the 140-pound champion, you are the 140-pound champion in the entire state.
Yeah.
And so to even get a kid to place is like a really big accomplishment.
Yeah.
Like you, and even getting to our regional tournament, and we got, you know, all these teams that, and some of them that we haven't seen all season, Hermiston, and some of those that, you know, compete in Washington sometimes. And you get humbled every single year. It's like, man, the, you know, our kids have worked hard and they're just on par where we need to be, and you show up at the region tournament, it's holy cow, this thing's tough. And it doesn't always, you know, sometimes it goes the way you hope it does, and usually it doesn't, because it's just tough. And but then to get to the state tournament, and then you've got all of those kids that were the top four in that region, and so you're 16 man brackets with the best of the best. And anyway, we had I think we got third place maybe the year before, but that was the goal that year, is like, we're gonna win state. And we had enough guys that placed high enough and got enough wins, and that we actually did it. And that was a pretty big deal. I mean, 1A, 6A, it was like, so that was kind of the first time. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be involved with programs at a really good time in LeGrand too, and so I've got to be part of baseball championships at the high school level now, and wrestling and football too. I was part of that state championship staff, and I don't know. Those are awesome experiences, and it's cool, and I got my ring on display and all that stuff. But really, it's the everyday things, and it's like what we talked about earlier. It's the kid that you know, passes classes and graduates and does stuff now, and you go and see them come back and volunteer in their family, in the community, and that's I guess for my football program too. One of my favorite things is I've got guys on staff now that I coached, and it's starting to make me feel old a little bit, but they want to come back and be a part of it, and they know kind of your expectations and all that stuff. And so I think that's what makes some of our programs the best, is we've got a bunch of alumni that come back and they want to come be a part of it. And so
good deal.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, the future sounds bright. I mean, you've kind of talked about the future a little bit, but here's, we're getting towards the end here. Anything you're excited about for the future?
Oh man. I don't know. Every day is in this profession is just a question mark, and you don't really know what you're ever going to expect. So, I would say moving careers into the wood shop now. So, I've taught second grade, I've taught sixth grade, I taught fifth grade. I was a math coach for a little bit, through the weird COVID times, and being part time at the high school, part time at the middle school this year with woods. I guess the potential of what all that can be, and a different avenue to see kids like that aren't different from our athletes, and maybe some of them are athletes, but find a niche or find a skill or find something that they're excited about. So I guess in the education world, I'm more revitalized and excited to go for hopefully another 10 years. And we'll, you know, that's kind of my cycle in my mind, but definitely all the athletics, like football specifically, I would say those couple years, like we've put in a ton of work, and I think next year we're gonna get to see hopefully a lot of that reward from that. And but everything all the time, I don't know.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Future's bright for sure. Well, we always end and chat about a acronym that people may or may not know. This one might be a little more common. OSAA.
Yeah.
What's OSAA?
OSAA, Oregon School Activities Association. They're the governing body in the state of Oregon over school athletics and activities. They set sort of the rules that we follow, you know, everything from practice timelines to how many games to
How dense the smoke can be and be outside.
Yes.
It's like everything.
There is a lot of rules. And so OSA takes care of us and helps us to do those things, create some equity across the state. They also facilitate state championships and those brackets as they come out. So OSAA is a great partner for school districts to be able to have athletics. One of the things that people don't know is that OSA is also over activities. So if your student, you know, goes to band and places at stage or in choir, that's an OSAA event, and they deal with those things as well. So great partner in doing sort of the heart work of what we do after school.
Yeah. It's got to be organized at some level to go and compete when they organize activities and athletics. Good deal. Well, gentlemen, appreciate you coming in early this morning, getting this done. Wanted to get Coach Sheets on the podcast and share his story. So appreciate you. Appreciate the time you put in, man.
Yeah.
Not many people are three sports deep year round. I've seen you in the summertime. I've seen you all hours of the day. So we appreciate you, man.
Love those bus rides, man.
Yeah.
Love getting 10 o'clock.
That's right.
Getting up next month.
Yeah, that's right.
Favorite.
Keeps it rolling. Keeps it rolling. All right, guys. Well, hey, let's have a great one.
Thank you.
Play 6 8 9 10 11 12 13 14 15 16 17 18 19 20